The White House is still working busily away on its plan to reorganize federal agencies, but former government officials warn they should heed the lessons of the past 40 years. Saving money cannot be the main reason for reorganizing the government. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us with details on what a panel of experts said the administration should focus on. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Amy.
All right, so tell us who these experts are and why they say a reorganization shouldn't necessarily save money.
Well, actually, that was probably one of the most surprising things that came from yesterday's panel at the National Academy of Public Administration. Many of these experts who served on both the Republican and Democrat administrations and on Capitol Hill say the cost to reorganize the government is higher than the savings that come from changing the way the government works. Dwight Enke is a former president of the Institute of Public Administration and worked for every president from Eisenhower to Reagan.
There are and have been reorganizations of a limited nature within the department that have saved money. I think what we're talking about are these presidential reorganizations cut across departmental lines. And one of the problems I had, and some of you may have had, is trying to keep White House staffs and presidents from putting into the transmission to Congress that this is going to save money, because it is not going to happen in these broad reorganizations.
Now, Robert Tobias is a former president of the National Treasury Employees Union and now director of the Public Sector Executive Education Program at the American University in Washington. He says no study he's ever seen has found savings in reorganization. But when Congress and the Bush administration reorganized the Homeland Security Department 8 years ago, the officials in charge actually tell a different story. They said their effort, actually, there were some savings. Mostly, Thomas Reinhart, a former chief of staff to DHS Undersecretary of Management, says most of it was in the back office space because that's where you can find the cost savings.
The way you make money in that business is you go through first a transition to where I'm going to absorb that staff and bring in new staff. I'm going to stabilize your infrastructure and drive costs out of your infrastructure. So, yes, from a classical, you know, put your MBA hat on, that's a natural outcome of going through that process.
Now, Janet Hale is a former Undersecretary of Management at DHS and now a director at Deloitte. She says the savings depend on really the needs of the organization that are actually coming into the new one that's being created. She says some entities may need help right away where it's going to cost you money, for instance, around technology or facilities. Well, others, you can say, well, you know, there's definitely some savings in there that we could have by reducing, by consolidating. So she said that the other thing to keep in mind is as you take organizations from one entity to another, that entity that loses as part of the organization is losing the people or the services, they're also going to need potentially new services as well. Now, Jim Locher is president and CEO of the National Project on National Security Reform, and he says there's hundreds of millions of dollars in potential savings in the national security areas. He points to the Office of the Director for National Intelligence and the NCTC, which is the National Counterterrorism Center, as examples of recent reorganizations that potentially has some money savings in there as well. And he believes the same can be said about civilian agency reorgs. So while you get this one group that says there's no money to be saved, it's going to cost you more, there is some disagreement because it says there's always some ways to save money.
Okay, so maybe money saving isn't the main focus, but what would the main focus be then? Why do it if money is not the issue?
Well, I think a lot of people are saying from this panel yesterday, focus on either programs or outcomes or a little bit of both. John Kaminsky is a senior fellow at the IBM Center for the Business of Government, and he worked in the Clinton administration's reinventing government effort. He suggests there are three possible paths to reorganization.
One is they can look at some of the system-level things, some of the things that focus around outcomes, programs and services that serve a common outcome, whether it's climate change or food safety or something. The second way of thinking about this is program level, by organizing around common customers and focusing on the needs of those customers. And this works in agencies that have a sort of a self-standing function, for example, patent and trademarks or air traffic control or student aid. The third element that the Obama folks might want to focus on is not focusing the overall mission or the program stuff, but the back office stuff that really allows agencies to work together. And this gets into what started in the Clinton administration as franchise funds. In the Bush administration, it was lines of business.
Dwight Enke says that any reorg must look at both systems, processes, and most of all, people, Because if you fix the systems and the processes but don't have the good people in place, the reorganization will fail. Now, Inc. says ensuring agencies have political, especially career people in place is key, because remember, those are the ones that are going to be enthusiastic about the reorg. Those are the ones who the Hill staff will go to and say, okay, what's really going on here? Do you like it? Do you not like it? They have the long-term relationships with. And in the end, I mean, you're really the career employees are the ones who have to live with the results. So it's very important to not only get them on board, but to make sure that they're good people helping to run it. Janet Hale says from her experience at DHS that the people are actually one of the biggest concerns, because any type of reorganization initiative really wears people out very quickly, because there's so much happening, there's so much stress, and there's so much expectation of what can happen. Hale says the administration should move fast, they should reorg, they should step back, look at it, maybe even reorg again, and step back maybe even a year, two, three later and say, okay, can we reorg a third time? But change in speed is important, because you get that sense of success. Now, finally, Hale says a big lessons learned is co-location of any new organization. She said that's a big mistake the DHS made by not having everyone together in the same place.
Now, Congress had a hearing last week on that new GAO report with its own plan for overlapping federal agencies. So Congress must have a role in this whole thing. What can it be?
Well, in fact, they're the key to all of this. In fact, if they don't approve the president's reorganization plan, whether this president or any president, it's just not going to happen. And in fact, Senators Joseph Lieberman and Susan Collins, who are the chairman and ranking member of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, and Congressman Daryl Issa and Elijah Cummings, the chairman and ranking member of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, wrote a letter to OMB Deputy Director Jeff Zients just last week asking for a tentative timeline for the development and implementation of the reorganization proposal. The lawmakers also want regular reviews of the plan, and has to be part of actually the overall development of whatever strategy OMB and the administration come up with. Dwight Inc. says if Congress isn't included from the very beginning, failure is all but certain.
It's important to take whatever time it takes to deal with Congress, and if you're under a lot of pressure, then it's important, I found, to set up special mechanisms. When I was serving in one of those despicable czar roles for President Johnson, in charge of rebuilding Alaska after the earthquake, I didn't have time to fool around with congressional niceties, but I sure had time enough to understand the need for congressional partnership. So I detailed several congressional staff members to my staff throughout that period. I didn't have to keep Congress involved. My staff kept Congress involved. But in addition to that, the Congress knew that they were getting the facts, because they sent up the problems as well as the successes on a day-by-day basis.
Now, one of the most successful organizations was the Goldwater-Nichols Act from 1986. That was the plan to reshape the Defense Department. Jim Locher says Congress actually initiated that reorg, not President Reagan, and that's one of the main reasons it not only got started, but got a lot of momentum, and as some people will tell you and some people may argue, had some success.
So do we have any idea of the status of the administration's plans for this reorganization?
We know little about what's going on. We know that they blogged about it back in January, said we're going to start with export or competitiveness. We know that Jeff Zients and Lisa Brown, who's also leading this effort, are meeting with experts. One panel member told me kind of confidentially that staff from Mr. Zients, Ms. Brown's office came up to speak to them and said, tell us about what's going on, tell us what previous efforts. They were collecting details, basically, from others. I contacted OMB, and spokeswoman Maura Mack wrote in an email statement that as this effort gets underway, Mr. Zients, Ms. Brown are beginning the process of seeking advice and suggestions from Congress, as well as those who run programs and all other relevant stakeholder groups. She, however, offered no timeline for when any strategy, any initial plan would be completed. But no matter what they end up doing, Beryl Radin, a scholar in residence at the American University School of Public Affairs, offers this advice.
One of, I think, the major reasons why we have not been so successful with reorganization is that I think we've worshipped the god of efficiency, and we've forgotten other kinds of goals that are in programs, one being effectiveness. One that is almost totally forgotten are questions of equity. We've forgotten politics. We've forgotten federalism. And the federalism is not just the feds having to deal with the states, There are 50 different states, and they all have different processes. And too often, we think that the federal government can come, well, we're going to give away to the states, and yet it works in some states and not in other states. I think that one of the real difficulties is that we haven't given enough space for thinking about the trade-offs that we have to make among these different goals.
Now, Beryl Radin is a scholar in residence at the American University School of Public Affairs, and obviously she's one of the many people from yesterday's event that offers different advice, different lessons learned, and in fact, you know, I think the administration would, I think they are reaching out to several of these experts, would benefit from understanding, okay, what worked for under Carter, what's worked under Nixon, what worked under Reagan, and all the mistakes that were made.